Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
And Mahomes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Swidilykins.
This show must really be special because we got Rob Britton sticking around for an extra hour. He's doing the show.
Wow.
He's excited. He loves AFC Championship football. He said, you know what? Whoever normally does the show on Wednesday nights, I got it.
Rob's getting married this year.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways. Yeah. You know who else is going to get a ring this year? Another Chiefs players.
You think they're getting another one? Well, they got to get by Sunday first. That's the key.
You already told me you're not worried about Sunday. You've already put it in the bag. The Chiefs are going to win. So I don't need to worry about it anymore. Can we have a quick discussion, though?
What do you want to talk about?
Just real raw, right out of the chute. No legs on it, no pre-production. Jim Harbaugh is the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Yay or nay?
Well, he is.
I know, but yay or nay on the hire?
Yeah, I think you needed to hire somebody of that caliber. And coming off a championship at the college level, you got to eventually give your franchise quarterback some stability. And Justin Herbert needed that. I actually like the hires for both of the teams in the division. I think you had to bring Antonio Pierce and knock off the interim for that head coaching position. And I think John Harbaugh was probably the hottest candidate out there in terms of what you need for your quarterback. And so you see the Chargers go and do it. And I think all the writing was on the wall. I think even we saw when Harbaugh was still talking at Michigan for the tournament and championship week, you could kind of tell that this was it. So he wanted to go off with a title victory for his alma mater, got that done, and now he comes back to the NFL.
He's like the coaching LeBron. LeBron went to Cleveland, won a title for the land, and then was like, I'm going to L.A.
Right.
That's exactly what happened here.
Well, if you bring a championship, it's kind of forgiven when you leave because you brought glory to the team, in LeBron's case, the program in Harbaugh's case, and now he comes back into the NFL with his brother. And as you noted before we got on the air, you get a Chargers-Ravens matchup next year.
Yes, you do. The AFC West plays the AFC North next year.
You're going to put in a future on it?
What am I putting a future on?
Now, who's going to win that? Who's going to win that matchup?
No.
All right. Just asking.
Okay. You know who's a big Cleveland basketball fan? That guy.
Rob?
Big time. Big Cavs fan. Has shirts, jerseys.
Why is that?
I don't have any idea. Probably because LeBron got drafted there and he was still in high school.
We could always come over and root for the Knicks.
Okay. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think he's going to enjoy the other East team that has more titles than the Knicks in the last 20 years.
Well, look out. We made that trade and you never know.
So let's talk about Buffalo real quick because we're moving on. It's already Wednesday. We got to get into Baltimore. We got to get into Ron Kopp at 6:15. And the injury report, that is massive this week. That has me kind of have some butterflies in my stomach.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Buffalo game, you had mentioned that game could have gone both ways. It could have gone either Buffalo's favored way or the Chiefs' favored way. Why so?
Yeah, I felt toward the end of it, a last team who has the ball type of game. You didn't expect them to miss what I think we'd estimate as a very makeable field goal. I think both teams made mistakes throughout the game, and it could have cost the Chiefs. It didn't end up doing it. It ended up costing Buffalo. I think the positive from the game that I took away is that the offense seemed to be ticking a little bit better. I was diving back into the possession chart that you have, and the Chiefs had 7 possessions, and 2 of them came at the end of the game, and one was at the end of the half where they had the ball. I'm not counting those. So the scorable possessions, the 7 of them, they scored 5 times and they had touchdowns on 3 of them, and it probably should have been a 4th touchdown. Mm-hmm. And so I think you come out of that game, and especially because they did it on the road, feeling really good about what this offense can do. I certainly feel better about it. I thought the game was going to be really close. It was. It came down to 3 points. And because the offense ticked a little bit better and was playing with more confidence, gaining the yards, and the main thing was getting the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Now I think you suddenly draw more confidence heading into Baltimore. You know, I feel good about the Chiefs going into Baltimore, where I was a little bit nervous maybe about last Sunday.
Is Buffalo dead to the Chiefs now, or is it depend on what they do with their offseason moves? Because There's a lot of reconstructuring going down, and you got to raise that that franchise. And I mean by raised, I mean like you got to build now from the ground back up.
Yeah, I think this version of the Bills was beaten by the Chiefs in all the important games. We're going to go into future iterations of what the Mahomes Chiefs look like. We're kind of in number two already because you take Tyreek Hill out of that lineup and it becomes a different team. And I just think in this first chapter of Mahomes and Allen with their initial teams, the Chiefs won. The Chiefs won that proverbial battle. I think this will probably be like three or four chapters of Allen against Mahomes, but you're right. Like his cast of characters is going to look a lot different now that their cap changes a bit. And so I don't think this is the end for Josh Allen. I think he put it right when he said, well, the good news is we woke up today. That's what he had to say.
That's so nice.
And so, you know, I think he'll be back, but it won't look the same. It'll be different. And he'll try to get over the hump of what may end up being, as of next year, a three-time Super Bowl champion if they're able to get by Sunday and then take care of business two Sundays after that.
Random hot take alert. How many picks would you give for Josh Allen if Buffalo were to try to trade him?
If you're the Chiefs?
No, I'm saying like if you're Buffalo and you know you got to go against the cap and you've failed with this four-year window.
You don't need a quarterback if you're Kansas City.
Stop. I'm saying Buffalo. What if Buffalo were to trade Josh Allen?
Like, what would they need in return?
Yeah. First, second, third? Or two firsts, a second, and a third?
I would imagine.
We've seen crazier things.
Like, if Tyreek Hill got five picks, I mean, that would have to be the baseline because this is now a franchise top five, top ten quarterback.
Because we know Gabe Davis ain't coming back the way he was acting on the sidelines. And I feel like Stephon Diggs has worn out his welcome.
I think you would need three first rounders. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's not crazy, right? For Josh Allen?
Atlanta would be a hell of a spot for Josh.
This is crazy talk.
Okay, I'm just saying, hot take alert.
They're not trading Josh Allen. If anything, they'll get rid of McDermott before they do Allen.
Could get rid of everybody.
This is crazy.
Okay.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
So, working the side gig today, everyone's, you know, not everyone, but a few people. Hey, what's the status? Where are the injuries at? What's going to happen Sunday? I don't know. But the injuries come out. You know, obviously I've got a few people that I'm, you know, locked in on. You is one of them. And the Chiefs injury report came out today. Some interesting names. Obviously, I knew that Willie Gay was going to be on that list. I knew that Joe Tooney was going to be on that list. But there are others. Please cool me down on the hot worriness here, Pete, with the other names that you're about to mention.
Yeah, let's go through the DNPs, did not practice. Trey Smith with an illness, nothing to worry about.
Sure.
Joe Tooney with his pec injury. I think that he's not going to be available for this game. Should the Chiefs win, he's working toward 3 weeks from now, which will be the Super Bowl. Isaiah Pacheco popped up with an ankle and toe issue, did not practice. I think he'll be able to go on Sunday. I asked him at the podium, and he said absolutely. But I...
Okay.
You never want the toe designation with the running back, so I do think it is something to watch. Derek Nnadi didn't practice. He had the tricep injury from what you could see in the locker room with this gigantic brace on his arm. And so through social media, I don't think he's playing yet.
Yeah.
Mike Edwards still trying to work his way through the concussion protocol. We'll see about that. Charmery Connor was very good, so I think that's a good thing. Your limited participants, Blaine Gabbert. Legarius Sneed, oblique and calf injury. Sneed is just maintenance. He'll be fine. Willie Gay was also limited. I didn't see Willie Gay in practice, but apparently he practiced in a limited capacity, which is a very, very good sign because the Chiefs need Gay when it comes to managing Lamar Jackson. Other injuries to know, Sky Moore still on injured reserve, did not practice after a setback last week at knee. I hate to say it at this stage, at least for this year, whether he plays or not really doesn't matter. Prince Tagovailoa returned to practice today. Quad injury. He was on injured reserve. He's still on injured reserve, but a full participant, just a little bit of depth along the line. I don't see him starting or anything, but a lengthy Chiefs injury report list. And now on the Ravens side, one of their guards didn't practice. Kevin Zeidler, just rest. He'll be okay. The other one to watch, Marlon Humphrey, hasn't played since week 17. He was a limited participant with that calf issue. Mark Andrews is the big one. Still on injured reserve, but a full participant. He is expected to play on Sunday, which is a huge boost for the Ravens. So the Ravens are winning this injury battle, if you want to call it that.
So you mean to tell me they're going to have Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews on the field at the same time?
Yeah, I talked to Justin Reed about that today, asking about the return of Mark Andrews, and he thinks, you know, they're going to use a lot more of that 12 personnel with them on the field at the same time. So that's something to watch, but he also added this, that the Chiefs will have a plan for both of them.
Sure.
So a little bit of swag at the end there.
Guy's been out for the majority of the season, like half the season. So, Isaiah Pacheco is the one that caused me to have a few knots in my stomach because he's been the X factor for this offense. Mm-hmm. This offense runs through Isaiah Pacheco. This offense is set up by Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, 15 carries, 89 yards the week before against Miami was the key focal point to get everybody going in that offense. That's what really kind of started this new wave of the Chiefs offense. And like you said, I had the same thought process. Running back and toe injury, never good.
No, and when it is specifically the toe on the injury report, that's what I think gives you a little bit of pause because, you know, we've seen in the past with these backs and it just says toe. It doesn't say turf toe, but they're always like a little hindered by that.
Mm-hmm.
But look, he said he's going to be fine. The training staff for the Chiefs has been very good. We have seen what they've done when Mahomes has had toe issues at this time of year, manages to play. And so it's a big one. It's something to watch for sure because he just has become so important for what the offense does. But, hey, I'm going to take his word for it right now.
Yep. He runs, what do they say? He runs like he's trying to bite people. That's what I think what somebody described
him as. He wanted, and kudos to him for clarifying this today, he isn't a zombie.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure people knew that.
Thank you for clarifying that, Pete. Chief Editor at Arrowhead Pride. Remember, at the end of the show, 6:45, yo, Pete. 913-586-7610. You can ask Pete whatever you would like when it comes to a question for the AP mailbag. But coming up on the other side, Ron Kopp Jr., their lead film analyst, joins the show to break down what was that Buffalo game and what we might be able to see when it comes to Baltimore versus Kansas City in this AFC Championship game at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Rob Brenton's here, Pete Sweeney, myself, Dusty Likens. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on Arrowhead Pride Radio on a Wednesday evening, a very gloomy Wednesday. I did my little lap around the upper deck, and it is, it looks like a horror film outside.
What do you mean?
Just very foggy. You know what I mean? You know?
Drive slow.
Yep. Drive slow. Be safe. Listen to 610 Sports Radio. Enjoy this full hour. If it takes you 30 minutes to get home, make it take 45. Yeah, that's what we got left of the show.
Okay.
Get Ron Kopp on the line.
All right, ready?
Yep. We're joined every Wednesday night, as we always are, by Ron Kopp Jr. We continue to do this. This is our third year in a row where we can talk about a AFC Championship game. Ron, how are you on this gloomy, foggy Wednesday evening?
I'm definitely not gloomy or foggy. I'll tell you that. I'm fired up. I mean, that game was probably, I'll tell you guys, like that was the most intense I felt during a game, maybe in years as a Chiefs fan. Like I'm talking like even last year, you include all that, like that game being, you know, coming down to it being in Buffalo, kind of, you know, being able to end their season again. That was a fun win for Chiefs Kingdom. That was really fun to play the villain.
Are you one of those people that when you watch a game, you've got to go like in another room or you've got to be in a setting that is good juju, or how do you just raw it up and it is what it is, however it happens?
Dude, I used to be, and as this team has won, I really hate to say it, but I really have gotten more loose and more just like, you know, yeah, I can be with family. I can be with a group of people. You know, obviously I'm writing most of the time during the game, but it's okay. But that game, it was just me and the wife, and I'm glad it was because she kept me contained. You know, I was a loose cannon during that game a few times.
Ron, I want to ask you this because maybe I'm, you know, biased. I don't know. It seems that there's been more development with Travis Kelce's routes or his availability in open space, and maybe this is something that's been tucked away. I know Andy Reid is very careful with his well-kept design secrets, but that touchdown pass to Travis Kelce where there was not a soul around him looked like they were waiting for the right moment. Boy, did they nail it.
Yeah, it was good play design. I know it's easy to just say, hey, Buffalo blew a coverage, but it really was the Chiefs forcing Buffalo to kind of make a decision, and it ended up they made the wrong decision. Just with it's a very simple route concept, having that corner out to the end zone and having an out route as well. But they added in this third route, and it really threw off those underneath defenders. Both of them kind of flew up when that cornerback really should have gained depth and been able to take away the Kelce route. But he saw two routes in front of him, wasn't expecting that third route to be the corner behind him. It really was a good play design by Andy Reid. And specifically with Travis Kelce, it was fascinating to me. You didn't see him get any targets or completions on crossing patterns this game at all. He was never running across the field on one of his catches. That's his staple in this offense. You know, that's what Mahomes loves to hook up with him on, right? Over the middle, he's running, you know, horizontally 15, 20 yards downfield or even shallower. No, this game, it was all, he started on one side of the field, made a move to the sideline or just up the seam a little bit. It was pretty fascinating because I really think what you're seeing is that Rashee Rice can do a lot of those crossing things, those crossing patterns that Kelce, you know, is obviously still good at. But having Rice be able to do that can maybe free up Kelce to do some other things that you saw against Buffalo.
It's AFC title week. I'm going to hit Ron with a little bit of a complex question here. Ron, in a recent article for AP, you talked about how Mahomes exploited the Bills, and you said that they really made a habit of trying to go after A.J. Klein, practice squad veteran, was considering retirement. They went after him and after him and after him. So what did you see in that fashion? How did they do that? And how does that translate to what they might do against the Ravens? Who do you see them potentially targeting on the Ravens defense?
Well, yeah. So I think the Kelce thing is number one, an easy way to show that they were attacking 52. Hey, let our Hall of Fame tight end just go after this guy. And that's what he did. There was a few plays early on, the first two drives of the game, he got big completions because he was just able to kind of take advantage of 52, trying to take him away at the second level. But what it also was, Pete, we all saw the run game, the powerful run game. I think what you saw the Chiefs do is really say, look, we know Buffalo is light at linebacker. They are going to be forced to play light in terms of they're really not going to be able to play three linebacker sets. They really don't anyway. They're a nickel team. But, hey, that means we're going to get into our heavy tight end sets. We're going to get our linemen pulling into space so they're blocking on those guys instead of blocking on the defensive linemen. It really was just like a forceful attack on not just 52, but just all of the banged up second level players for the Bills. It was the run game. It was getting those tight ends in so Blake Bell and Noah Gray can dominate those blocks at the second level. Creed Humphrey pulling, Trey pulling. But that's the thing. All that to say, man, they have played some backup linebackers these last two games. They are not facing that in Baltimore. Yeah. It's going to be the complete flip, man. Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen are as good as it gets in terms of covering space. You know, their range, right? They're both very athletic. And so it's going to be hard to maybe find the same windows over the middle that you saw in these last couple games to Kelce or Rice. And so that will be tough. It will have to take more scheme, more pre-snap motion, you know, more things to kind of force those guys to open up windows. And that's what Andy Reid's good at. So that's the battle on Sunday.
When it comes to this battle on Sunday, I feel in my heart of hearts where I want to, as I put this puzzle together of what this game will be, I think it comes down to a game-winning field goal between the two best kickers in the league. I mean, Butker's been better than Justin Tucker. Wild to think in this game. But let's say that Mark Andrews does play. What does the situation look like with a guy in Isaiah Likely who's been a great surprise this year for the Baltimore Ravens? Do they kind of run that Patriots double tight end system, or is it more so like we're going to put Mark Andrews in like 20% of the snaps and see how he feels, or is it like he's ready to go?
Man, I'm interested because Isaiah Likely has played so well. You know, you obviously don't want to take him off the field. And Mark Andrews is that kind of player, though, that is literally the number one target in that offense when he's healthy. So that's really interesting. The thing I will say is it is a big deal because I think this the way the Chiefs need to defend the Ravens is by trusting their defenders in coverage, right? Trusting their elite players to cover up these guys. We're not talking about Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. We're not talking about Stephon Diggs. We're not talking about some of the receivers this team has faced and some of the receiving corps this team has faced. You're talking about a rookie in Zay Flowers, who was a very good player. I was a huge fan of him in the draft, but he's still a rookie and someone that either Snead or McDuffie, I feel like, could match up well against. On the outside, Aguilar and Odell. Okay, like, you know, Snead should be able to handle that. And Jalen Watson. Like, I would have confidence in Jalen Watson being able to man up either of those guys. So it comes down to those tight ends, right? If you have both of them, that does put a lot of stress on Chiefs linebackers, Chiefs safeties. kind of having to account for both of them, because both are athletic, both can make a play after the catch, before the catch. But if Andrews doesn't go for whatever reason, it is just likely. Yeah, I would say, yeah, cover him up, man, trust the Justin Reed or trust a Drew Tranquil to really man those guys up, and then use the rest of the guys to heat up Lamar and get after him and just try to get him to throw the ball quickly and get rid of the ball quickly, to make him try to trust his receivers against these coverage players, make him, you know, do that. And it's not, and I don't say that, you know, I know it's so easy to say, oh, that's a maybe a negative on Lamar to say make him throw, right? I'm saying it because his receiving core really, I think, is mismatched against this Chiefs coverage. I think the Chiefs coverage has the advantage. So the Chiefs need to trust that and let their defenders really man up and kind of own the game themselves.
Talking with our lead analyst, Ron Kopp at Arrowhead Pride. Ron, you wrote another piece for us about Chris Jones and the Chiefs pass rush being relentless and eventually getting to Josh Allen. I guess, what did you see from the Chiefs defense last week that would translate to success this week against the Ravens?
Well, I'll start with kind of the negative part of it, that I think for a lot of the game, you saw the defensive line get pushed around in the run game. You saw the defensive line, in my opinion, also not be able to get off blocks as well as you'd kind of like in the pass rush game. It is different pass rushing these mobile quarterbacks, right? You're not necessarily trying to fly off the ball and you know, you are kind of maybe engaging a little more and kind of, you know, reacting from there. Still, though, you did see a lot of times where Josh Allen had the ability to kind of scramble, get away, because once he did get to his drop, once the coverage kind of covered up his options, there was no one getting off a block and kind of, you know, containing him. They were getting blocked up. The Ravens' offensive line is similarly, or maybe even better, slightly than the Bills' offensive line. But I will say the thing that is encouraging is you see the intelligence this team has. A Chris Jones, where, you know, he was not going to the outside all game, right? He was staying as an interior rusher for the bulk of the game. He went outside when he most wanted to, and it turned out to be basically the game deciding player, the game winning play. You can say, because I think if Josh Allen steps into that throw that Chris Jones makes him, he hits him into, it could have been a touchdown. Obviously, I trust Patrick Mahomes to go down and win it. He was feeling himself, but you know they would have had to go score a touchdown. They wouldn't have been able to just settle for a field goal. All that to say, yeah, I think Chris Jones just, you know, picking his spots, kind of understanding that now, you know, right? That's probably the step to his game he's taken these last couple of years is understanding that, kind of pacing himself. And it turned out to be the biggest play in the fourth quarter. So you just got to imagine that'll happen again in the fourth quarter Sunday.
Well, outside of if the better half of yours thought it was a tough one on Saturday or Sunday last week, it's going to be even more tough this Sunday. But before you get there, what do you got working in the archives, Ron Kopp Jr. at Arrowhead Pride?
Yeah, we'll be looking at something with the Ravens for sure. We'll be doing a little preview AP film room. We're going live tonight, so make sure you check that out after the show around 8 o'clock, I believe. We'll be hitting the film review from the Bills, but we'll be doing a little Ravens preview too, and then five things to watch as always. So make sure you check that out, arrowheadpride.com.
Well, hopefully we've got two more weeks after this week, and we have a Ride to Vegas show for a couple Wednesdays. Ron, thanks for your time as always, and we'll check in with you next Wednesday if there is a win.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you very much. Ron Kopp Jr., the lead film analyst over at One Arrowhead Pride, the best website for all of your Chiefs information.
One Arrowhead Pride.
Kind of, you know, the One Arrowhead Pride.
Okay.
Not the address.
You made a mistake at the ad, yeah.
I didn't put in the. I went pre-Facebook. I went the. That's my bad.
Lose the.
Yeah. Lose the.
Facebook.
Nobody likes things that are the.
Except The Rock. Everybody likes The Rock.
Did you hear that just got branded by the WWE? They just trademarked The
What's
Rock.
That?
They just trademarked The Rock. They went to Netflix. They sold it for $5 billion or some nonsense like that. And now they took The Rock's trademark.
Took them long enough.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. WrestleMania this Saturday.
That trademark's like 40 years.
You've got a loaded weekend, man. Does the lady know this yet? That you've got Royal Rumble on Saturday?
Already found somewhere in Baltimore to watch it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't believe you only watched one season of The Wire and then never watched it anymore.
What are you doing listening to 610 during your off time? Get away,
I love
man.
Robin
Get
Cena,
away.
Man. What?
Listen to some music or
I'm
something.
I'm driving into work. Yeah. I went and met a friend at Enjoy, had a little smoothie.
The only person who listens to 610 when they're not here are you and Sean Barber.
No, that's not true. Because I don't listen to 610. I just had to be driving into work.
Oh,
and
here
like,
we go.
I don't want to listen to my music.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We get to dive into Baltimore. We get Pete's opinions. I don't want to steal 41 stuff. I don't want Aaron Ladd, Pete's who also take. Listens, and DM me and be like, hey, man, get your own content.
Right.
Coming up on the other side, it's Baltimore. It's AFC Championship Talk. It's Pete Sweeney, Rob Brent, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Get on Arrowhead Pride Radio. Don't forget, it's the AFC Championship preview show. So at the end, in about 10 minutes, yo, Pete, 913-586-7610. You can ask Pete whatever you want about the Baltimore-Kansas City matchup that will be played in a matter of, what, 5 days? 4 days?
4 days.
4 days. Math is tough for your boy over here. I do want to get into a little bit of some audio nuggets that I had found prior to the show, because this does seem like there are multiple storylines throughout this game. I think that's the obvious, right? It is, yeah. Andy Reid, John Harbaugh. I think there's a lot of, and what I've been running with is like the mirror image of each other against these two teams. This was Lamar Jackson when he was asked about facing Patrick Mahomes.
I don't like competing against him at all. but yeah, I mean, he's a great quarterback. Definitely a Hall of Famer. It's not even, it's a no brainer. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. But I believe it's just two greats, up and coming greats, just going toe to toe, you know, like a heavyweight fight.
So there is no debate that there is a battle of, I don't know, two of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. I know Patrick Mahomes, you could say, had a down year, but again, here he is once again, yeah, in the playoffs, flawless so far in the playoffs. It's been a completely different, revamped sort of offense, but it's nice to hear the honesty from Lamar Jackson. Be like, I don't like to face him at all, be honest with you. Like, you don't really hear this from other quarterbacks. Like Burrow in the past, it's always been, you know, look, it's going to be an exciting matchup. He's great. You know, we have a good team. You hear things like from Josh Allen, like, yeah, oh, yeah, he's always beating our ass. It's not a rivalry. We don't win blank. Lamar Jackson, straight up, hey, look, I don't like facing him at all. Is there more pressure on Baltimore in this game, mm-hmm, or Kansas City?
I think it's always the opposition with any of these teams, because Kansas City has got two Super Bowls in the past 4 years. They've won championships. They've thrown parades. Patrick Mahomes has won two MVPs. He's won Super Bowl MVPs. And so whenever you get to this stage and the Chiefs are still involved, of course the pressure is going to be on the other team. If the Chiefs were to advance on Sunday and they get the Lions or the 49ers, those teams have pressure because they haven't had Super Bowls in a very long time. The Lions have never had one. And so I think at this stage, especially just considering the year for the Chiefs, where in a way it was a, we got to establish our identity again, that type of thing, you start to, I think, see that the pressure is always going to be on the other team. Like, look at the amount of pressure that Josh Allen had on his back the other night. And I think toward the end of the game, you started to see where that impacts the game. I mean, they got a little bit more passive at the end. They got a little bit afraid, I think, of giving the Chiefs the ball back and not having a lead there, or leaving the Chiefs with too much time. The pressure is always going to be on the opposing team until you get another team that starts to win as many championships as the Chiefs have had in recent memory.
When you also look at this team, and I brought this up with Ron Kopp Jr., how crazy is it that these two teams are just so almost evenly comparable throughout the entire facets of the game? Like Patrick Queen, Nick Bolton, right? Both like really good run stopping middle of the field linebackers, right? Patrick Queen probably a little more versatile, more like a, maybe like a Willie Gay, but you look at Harrison Butker, Justin Tucker, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Zay Flowers, Rashee Rice, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, their defense, number one in scoring defense, Kansas City's number two, Harbaugh, Reed. There's a lot of really close similarities in this game. I don't personally, as of right now, Wednesday night, 4 days out, I don't see this game being one of those, like, you know, epic shootouts. I think both defenses are way too good. I think the adjustments both teams make in the second half are, you know,
yeah,
we can go back to both games, right? You look at Baltimore, that game was 10-10 against Houston and the rookie CJ Stroud. They ended up winning that game, what, 34-10, 24? Right. They went on a 24-point run without being answered. So the adjustments were clearly made against the rookie. You look at the Chiefs, they made adjustments towards the run in the second half and kind of figured things out as well. Am I wrong saying that they mirror image each other pretty close, or is it, you know, they're opposite?
No, great defensive strains. I think the quarterback play is elite. You mentioned the kickers, even down to the kickers, right on par with each other. And I think the big difference here that you're seeing with the Ravens as opposed to these first two rounds for the Chiefs are they're very much healthier on defense, and their defense is going to be able to match the Chiefs' defense. And it's a little bit of which offense blinks first again. You know, I say this a lot. When we get down to the Final Four, anything can happen. It can go any way, and that's because these teams are so on par with each other. They're so good by this point that the smallest mistake could change the course of NFL history, and I think that's the type of thing that you see Sunday. The Chiefs need to be cleaner than they were last week if they're going to beat this team because they're playing really well. The Ravens have just been able to beat good teams in this league by multiple scores on multiple occasions, and so Kansas City's going to have to play a really clean brand of football if they're to win this game.
I think the thing is likewise for Baltimore as well. Is there any sort of belief that there is the cloudy, grim, reaperish feeling that Baltimore has when it is Kansas City? Because I know in the past when you would watch, you know, the Patriots play, right? And it didn't matter if it was Peyton in Indianapolis or if it was Pittsburgh or whoever it might have been that got to play New England in the AFC Championship game, whether it was in Foxborough or elsewhere, there was still always that feel where it's like, it's Brady and Belichick coming here. It doesn't matter what their season was. It's the playoffs. Is that kind of now the feeling in the NFL, no matter who the opponent is at this point, with this being the Chiefs' sixth consecutive trip to this game?
I think especially after last week. I mean, I think you can make a case where the Chiefs, when they were hosting five straight AFC title games, it always felt like, okay, you were getting the other team on your turf. Now Mahomes is going to opposing stadiums and stealing the year from them. And I think you can build off that. Like I like that the Chiefs are coming off a road game when they have to go to road on the road in Baltimore and play the best team this year because they have that confidence already. And I think you have that in your brain where you mentioned the Grim Reaper-ish thing where it's ticking. It's like it's just a matter of time before Mahomes rips your heart out. And they saw it firsthand last week, and I think that only adds to the pressure of the Baltimore Ravens team.
How do you see this game being played? You see it as a juggernaut versus juggernaut and all defensive stats thrown to the side, or is this one of those like you'd mentioned with Buffalo in the John Madden class that you took in high school, which was whoever has the ball last wins?
Yeah, I think the first team to cross the goal line is going to have just a huge, I think, mental advantage in this game, because I do think it could be a defensive struggle where you see the offenses having to kick field goals, and it's one of those grinded out type of games. But I like Kansas City a lot more this week than I did last week, just because of we saw the offense have this breakthrough. And now that they have, it's like, can you repeat that against a healthy defense? And, you know, Ron was kind of alluding to that. He thinks there's room for optimism, but also this is a lot tougher than it was against the Bills and the Dolphins. But I think Kansas City's feeling themselves right now, and they should. And as we've been talking about this entire segment, man, the pressure's on Baltimore to get it done, because this is what would be considered, compared to other years, a vulnerable Chiefs team. And despite those vulnerabilities, all they got to do is win one game and they're back to the Super Bowl.
Percentage of trust that this offense can do it one more week, clean slate. I know they had the Mecole Hardman fumble, but Mahomes is interceptionless drop. There's been maybe one or two, but here we go.
I think if I'm being truthful about a confidence level against this Ravens defense, I'm like cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. So maybe like in the 6 or 7 range, where I feel like it's back in a way. Okay. But you also don't want to run into a situation where you stall in the first quarter. There's a couple of these 3 and outs, and then suddenly you're against the ropes. So, you know, I think you want to see the offense play well from the beginning of the game on.
More confident in this game than you were against Buffalo?
Much more. Okay. Much more, yeah.
Coming up on the other side, it's Yo Pete, 913-586-7610. For those of you that are hard of hearing in the back, 913-586-7610. Yo Pete, coming up on the other side on Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Segment here on Arrowhead Pride Radio on this lovely, gloomy Wednesday night. Love to see it. Just me. I don't know. Makes that Pinot Noir go down a little nicer on a Wednesday night. You know what I mean?
Wednesday Pino tonight?
That's right, baby. That's right.
What a little Vino for the Sweeno, am I right?
Hey. Yeah, I would like that. I would like that.
Pino for the Sweeno.
Dusty doesn't invite me. What are you making with the wine?
First off, how weird would that be if you told your girlfriend, hey, I'm going to go to my buddy Dusty's house for some Pinot Grigio?
Yeah, we're going to share some Pinot.
He'd be single in like 5 minutes.
No.
Why don't you stay at Dusty's house and have fun at your sleepover?
Yeah. What food are you making?
Salmon and Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
Pairs well.
Aaron Ladd wants to come over with the salmon.
You don't like salmon?
He drafted salmon
second
overall.
Look who's listening now, Pete.
In the fish draft. No, C-Dot told me when I came in earlier that, apparently it was a fish draft and Aaron drafted.
What's your number one overall pick in the fish draft?
Lobster, of course.
That's a fish? That's like a crustacean.
For the record, because I'm here, I will clarify. It was a draft of dishes that feature seafood.
Okay. I was going to say, like...
It was a fish draft.
It wasn't if it's lobster.
So the first overall pick, Carrington took a surf and turf because there's turf, lobster tail.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your overall number one fish, Rob?
My first pick was a shrimp and grit.
You know who's got a really good shrimp and grit? Third Street Social.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
And time for you to say, yo, Pete, and then fill up your question right after. I'll take the stage real quick because this is from our fan Bryson. He says, hey, this is Bryson. Hey, Dusty. I think the Chiefs will win if they control the line of scrimmage, win the time of possession battle, and win the turnover battle. What do you think, Pete? From Bryson.
Yeah, that all sounds good.
That's a hell of a three-leg parlay there.
I think that if the Chiefs, you know, don't make those self-inflicted mistakes, they pretty much can beat anybody. It's just that has been such a problem for the majority of this year. A little bit better, you know, last week with everything on the line. Still didn't avoid having, like, a mistake-free game. I mean, you remove the turnovers from the game. They play without penalties. They should win. It's hard to disagree with that statement.
How many turnovers does Patrick Mahomes have so far in the playoffs? How many drops does Rashee Rice have in the playoffs so far? Thank you. He's putting up a zero, by the way.
Double zeros.
From the 720, yo, Pete, does Snead travel this week? If so, what Ravens wide receiver? Shadow, I think, maybe is what they were thinking.
What was the verb?
Travel.
Travel and shadow could both work.
Fair enough. I've never heard travel. I'm not smart, though.
Got to think. Zay Flowers, right? I would probably be the...
So you could put McDuff on Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, that would be the guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually Snead travels with the... with the wide receiver that does the most damage. He's been proven that throughout the season. So I would guess in that direction, but okay. I don't know. I'm just going to ask Steve tomorrow when we get him. Coach Steve.
I kind of want to try his wife's pasta. It's always talked about in, like, Chris Jones's world or other people. They say
Mariana meatballs?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm a sucker for meatballs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. Meatball sub, meatball and spaghetti, baked
Steve
spaghetti.
Steve Spagnuolo has said that Mrs. Maria... Spagnuolo has just these to die for meatballs. And I think there was a joke a couple weeks ago that, you know, maybe they would bring some in for the writers.
You better save me so if they do.
Now, our friends at Chiefs PR shut that down real quick.
Ah, man. Yo, Pete, do we see Andy Reid design safe bubble screen to Mecole Hardman in the first half, or has Reid shown he's done with that experiment from the 9-1-3?
No, I think, you know, Andy never really gives up on these guys. And so... we've seen it from drive to drive.
First play of the game.
Someone has a bad drop or something. Right, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out.
House call.
And he likes playing into that motivation. They're really motivated to make up for their mistake the last time. So what I would tell you is I hope it's not at the goal line.
Yeah.
But I think McColl, like the over on 0.5 touches is good for this one. Yeah.
Okay. Yo, Pete. Wanye Morris possibly filling in at left guard instead of Allegretti. Some possible pros and cons to either guy, in my opinion. What do you think?
No, I think
from the 913.
Yeah, I think it'll be Allegretti. Just more reps at the pro level at guard, and what Morris has been doing. I mean, we saw him at practice today. He was a full participant, so hopefully things are on the up and up when it comes to that concussion stuff. And he'll be, in my estimation, backing up what would be Donovan Smith.
From the 720, yo, Pete, Do you think Willie Gay will be effective enough and disciplined as a spy versus Lamar Jackson? That is from Micah in Denver.
You have to hope so. Mm-hmm. It's going to be such a key to the game. The problem with Jackson when he gets out of the pocket, like other quarterbacks, you worry about that, and maybe they achieve the first down and then go down, where Jackson, he finds these windows where if you miss him, I mean, it could cost you like 40 yards. Mm-hmm. So everyone has seen it. Obviously, such a key for this game.
Somebody says from the 75, yo, Pete, Binkley is always listening as well to 610 from Casey Kirk.
You think?
I mean, I would think so.
You agree with that?
Yeah. I forgot to say the end of this yo, Pete one. It says, do you think he's done with that experiment and save the touch for 10-4-87? Side note, Pacheco runs like the plaid prince late to a Burberry outlet sale. Then they finish with, love you guys. What are you, MJF?
People think I'm very finger up. I mean, you think so? Yeah. Do I give that impression?
You said today that you could outdrink Travis Kelce and then you would do an Irish goodbye.
What's wrong with that?
That's a finger up. That's like Travis Kelce. You the would Irish definitely goodbye. Be like, hey, man, good see you. Have a
for
good
what
night.
It's worth, I didn't say outdrink. I said I would have to do an Irish goodbye before, you know, it got to be too much to maintain some credibility.
I do feel like I could hang with Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Well,
we're kind of the same age.
Would you guys be doing beers, you think, or would you be going with Pinot like you are tonight?
I don't think he's, if we're going out, it's beer for
couple
beer.
Couple Pinot? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if he was like, hey, come over to the crib, I got some, you know, people Pinos? Over, you better believe I'm going to get a nice bottle of Pinot and be like, hey, Taylor, this is my buddy Paul Westfall, his wine store. I'd drop his name first and last and be like, hey, try
so
this.
So Taylor's there, too, in this fantasy that you have?
No, it's not a fantasy. I'm just saying I could party with Travis.
All right.
From the 913, yo, Pete, what are the chances Richie James being the hero / X-Factor in the Ravens game? Wow. Richie James being a hero or an X-Factor? Didn't think I'd get to that point this year in the Arrowhead Pride Radio show.
Unless he breaks off a return, you never know, right? We've seen returns be very important last year for Kansas City and what they were able to do in the title game and then the Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. if a guy is the returner of choice, you never know.
Okay.
Low, though. Low percentage. Chance, though. Non-zero.
From the 816, Kelce is double your size. You're not out drinking him. Legend likens. Well, you've never hung out with me when I've gotten after it. Mm. I put 24 Miller Lights down it one day and still stood tall.
Well, what's the average that you do on the golf course? And that you like to...
Rob, you want to fill in on this?
I mean, average?
Yeah.
How's he playing? What's he like at the turn? Because that changes the calculus.
Let's just say he's playing poorly.
Oh, man. It's... myself, it'd be a 12-er.
Because
it'd be probably...
I was going to say 8 to 10 is probably the number.
Okay.
Wow.
Like, Rob and I will literally buy, like, a 17-pack. And if his fiance is listening, just go with it. But we will... that's not there at the end of the tour.
Right.
So, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Yo, Pete. If we end up getting past the Ravens and winning the Super Bowl... What does that say about Mahomes' legacy, and how much sooner do you think we can really start having a solid conversation about Mahomes taking over Tom Brady as the GOAT?
But Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowls, so...
Yeah, it's a lot.
I think if you're going to start seriously talking about that, you got to see where Mahomes' age is when he gets to 4.
Yeah.
And so right now we're at 2, so we got a couple of years.
Fair enough. That's Pete Sweeney, Rob Brenton. Thanks for all your help tonight. It's been Arrowhead Pride Radio. Go do nice things for people who can change their day, week, month, or year. No matter what life throws at you, just keep your head up. Keep going forward. That's right. Kansas City, I love you. Coming up on the other side, it's K-State basketball here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll be back tomorrow night on Thursday evening. Good night, Kansas City.